All right. Well, it's good to have you here today. Whether you're joining us online or you're here in person, we just want to say welcome to Forerunner Church. My name is Joshua Gaines. I'm the pastor here at Forerunner. And so we're really excited for you to join us today. I have a fun message, a good message, I believe, that's from the heart of the Lord. And so I'm just going to go over a quick few announcements, and then we're going to get into our message for today. I don't believe it's going to be long, but I always say that, and we all know how that is. But we have some really cool news. Well, actually, let me start with this. First, if you need to give your tithes and offerings, you can give online. We'll put up the address here on the bottom part of your screen. But go to www.forerunnersa.org/give, and you can give your tithes and offerings via that way. We are a 501c, so it's going to be tax deductible and all that good stuff. For those who don't know us, who are new to our channel, new to us, new to our church, you can give many different ways, but that's the main way. And so really excited I'm so excited. I can't even think straight, but just super excited about what God was giving. So if you need to give your tithes and offerings, we can be a cheerful giver. You can give that way. And I'm not one that really harps on tithes and offerings that much. That's why doing it is always not hard, but it's just kind of weird because I'm used to, okay, the offering box is there. There you go. You know what you need to do. So, but anyways, a next announcement that we're really excited about is that next week we have a change of venue, and we're really excited about that. I believe God is growing us. He wants to grow the church. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church. And so there's no, you know, ABC, 1, 2, 3, operation or thing to do to grow your church. It's really simple. You speak truth, walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, and allow Jesus to do the rest. That's it. It's really simple. Jesus said, I will build my church. So it makes growing a church super simple. But we will be meeting at a different venue, and it's called the Connected Co-working. And we will start next week, next Saturday, and it will be at 5:00. The address, and go online. We'll have our address online and all that stuff. So, and we'll remind everybody. But it's at 10401 West Interstate 10, San Antonio, Texas, 78230. So we're really excited. We have a partner ministry that allowed us to use one of their rooms. And then as we grow, there's another room we can use in there. And then as we grow bigger, outgrow that room, we'll have another room that we use. So I'm really excited. It's a beautiful multi-purpose facility. And so we're really excited to be able to meet there and fellowship. And it's right next to Sea Island. So if you like seafood, yay. But it's right down the street from Days of Olive. So there's plenty of stuff to do, to eat after church and to fellowship with people that you just met, people that you do know. And so it's a great place. I'm really excited that God has opened up or given us an opportunity to meet there and just do what God's called us to do. And that's, you know, people ask, oh, are you trying to build a church or grow a church? And, you know, my heart isn't necessarily to have a massive church like CBC or Cornerstone. If it happens, great, hallelujah. But my heart and Tiffany's heart has always been the Acts 2 type model, where we come together, you know, we fellowship, we break bread together, that we go through life together. But it's all about, as Jesus commanded us to do, is raising up disciples. And that's really our heart. And so part of this move is so that we can grow. We, you know, we've had a house church. I mean, we've been in buildings before, so it's not like we're new to the building scene or anything like that. But right after COVID, the Lord was like, hey, I want you to go to a house church. And we've had a great time at my house. You know, it's fun. You know, we'll sit around, and while I'm preaching, people are eating, or we'll eat after the message. And I think we have a great foundation. Now it's time to build off that and to have a facility where we can make more disciples, because that's what we're called to do, is to go out and make disciples. So really excited about that. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all that, and we'll continue to put the address to make sure everybody knows of this transition. And so we're really excited. So we may be in one room for a week or two, and then we might get so big that we might outgrow that room, that's my heart, because I'm really excited. We need We need folks. I don't want to say we need folks, but the Lord is about to do something great, and we need, you know, the Bible says in Scripture, Jesus said that the fields are white to harvest. Pray for the laborers. And so that's what we want. We want disciples. We want laborers, because San Antonio is hurting. San Antonio needs Jesus. And I believe that there's going to be an outpouring in San Antonio, and we just get to play our part. So super excited about that. And so just continue to stay connected with us so you know what's going on. All right. Now, today, my message, I don't know, something is messing my allergies up today, so we're going to see how we can get through this. But today, I want to talk about, you know, we haven't finished our Prophetic People series and talking on, we'll still do that, but the Lord kind of had me stop for a second. Next week, I'm going to talk on the millennial reign of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about end time. You know, a lot of people ask, hey, Josh, what's your end time eschatology and all this stuff? And I don't really tell people too much about it. I'm more the, you know, are you post-millennial? Are you pre-millennial? I'm more pan-millennial or pan, you know, whatever. And pretty much, and I'll explain it more in detail next week. But pretty much, it's just, it all pans out. Why do I care what's going to happen? You know, we read scripture. We know the signs. We know the times. And, you know, I really believe in being like the virgins. You have the two sets of virgins. You have the foolish virgins and you have the wise virgins. The foolish virgins didn't keep their lamps with oil, but the wise virgins did, because they didn't know when their husband was coming back. And so, or when the bride was coming back. And so I'm more of like, just be prepared. Whatever happens, whether Jesus comes back tomorrow or Jesus comes back in 100 years, Jesus comes back in 50 years, let's just be prepared. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about just my, where we stand in eschatology and end time, because I really felt of the Lord is that we need to talk about this and we need to share. I know a lot of people don't, I don't want to talk about eschatology and I don't want to talk about this or that. But again, if you go back into the prophets in the Old Testament, I'm at the top of my head, can't remember the where it's at, but it talks about the watchmen and that it's the watchman's duty that when there is enemy coming, it's their job to go and warn people. And if they don't warn people and something happens to the city or whatnot, then the blood is on their hands. They are responsible. And so it's a heavy responsibility as the body of Christ, as believers, as pastors, as leadership, is to let people know of the times and the season. So that will be next week. But I really wanted to talk about, as we go into election year, well, we have election, what, 20 days or so, something around there, a couple weeks, we have you know, our presidential election, and we have so much going on in the world right now. I was just reading the news, and it looks like Israel's prime minister's like vacation house was bombed, and you know, Israel is in Lebanon and in Gaza, and then you have Iran, you have all this stuff, and it just aligns with scripture, so it's nothing new. It shouldn't surprise us. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that there'll be, or the Bible says in the New Testament, it talks about wars and rumors of wars, And so it shouldn't surprise us that all these things are happening. And so I really felt like the Lord kind of say, all right, hold on, let's talk about what's going on. Because when you start talking about end time eschatology, you start talking about Jesus is coming back, people get freaked out. They start panicking. You know, I remember a few years ago, we had somebody that we knew, and they were, you know, they were going on YouTube watching type weird theology and just weird stuff. And they were like, well, Jesus is coming back on this day. So they started selling off all that they had and just like, we're just going to be prepared. And I was just like, okay, well, if you're going to sell stuff or give stuff away, why don't you give it to me? Like, I know Jesus ain't coming. So like, we still got stuff to do. So I'll take it. But you have people that have this weird, you know, if you watch any of the Left Behind series or read the books, I mean, I remember watching them and I remember reading them and being freaked out and being like, oh my goodness, this is what it's going to be about. This is what it's going to be like. Oh man, I don't know if I want to be here. And so, you know, you have fear there. And then you have other folks that talk about, oh, well, the rapture's going to come. So it's going to be bad for everybody else, but it'll be good for us because we'll be raptured up. So we want to talk about Do we believe, and that's the title of my message, do we believe God is in control? Because right now, all through society, through the world, where it is a tumultuous time. It is just crazy. You know, we had the scare of, I think it was 2 days though, but we had the union strike on the port workers. And oh, watch out, if they strike, they're, you know, gas is going to be held up, food's going to be held up, you know, Christmas, all this stuff. And so people, I mean, it was really funny, people going out buying toilet paper and you know, all these commodities and stocking up and storing up and stuff. And I'm not against prepping or being prepared. Joseph did it. And, you know, I really lean on that. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we do stuff, and I'm guilty of it. Like, I'm totally guilty of it. We've bought stuff, you know, just during COVID and other times when we'd watch the news, oh, this is happening. And instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, we're like, oh man, we better buy toilet paper. We better buy ammo. We better buy this. And we go and use resources, and then we're like, nothing happens. And we're like, hey God, can you bail us out financially, or can you bail us out? So I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just as guilty, but in those times of mess up, the Holy Spirit has taught me and said, hey, look, you got to really rely on the Father, because we have a good Father. And so, like, now I'm kind of like, you know, whatever happens, happens. Do I listen to the Holy Spirit? Yes, I listen to the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, I have never been so confident in the end times, where the church will be, where I'll be. I've never been so excited, so pumped, so unafraid than ever before, because it's kind of like, at the end of the day, God wins. At the end of the day, I know what happens to me. I get to spend eternity with Jesus. I get to spend eternity with my fellow brethren of believers, you know, and so that hope is so much greater than the trials and the tribulations and the fear that we have here on earth. And as a father of five, you know, I still have to think, oh man, is my wife taken care of? Is my kids taken care of? But we have to be a people that we trust in God. And so that's where I want to start today. Do we believe God is in control? A lot of times we think, well, God's not in control. God this, it's just, you know, and we have this weird thinking that everything, there's just chaos. You know, you go back into science, it talks about how the earth was created. Everything was created out of chaos. Nothing was created out of chaos. God's sovereign hand has been on you, been on creation, been on everything. He is the creator of the universe. And so the one who created the universe has everything in control. So we are the ones who are freaking out. Oh man, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. But I really believe in these last days, the Lord is calling the remnant. The Lord is calling his people and saying, do you trust me? And I know that can be really hard. And so we're going to go through two passages of scripture today. And I'm going to kind of, I'm going to look at two examples. And there's two things that I really felt that as we put our, well, you should always put your trust in Jesus, but as you really dive in and faithfully depending on the Lord, which can be scary for some, for a lot of people, you know, I'll give one example. You know, you tell people, you know, you put your health into God's hands. You know, you might go to the doctors, and the doctors are like, well, you have cancer, you're going to die, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, the Holy Spirit saying, put your trust in the Father. He got you. And it's kind of like, oh, that's hard. Or, you know, you look at your bank account, you're overdrawn, you have overdraft fees. And it's like, God, how am I going to pay the bills? And God's saying, put your trust in me. I got you. But, you know, as just humans and as people, I've done it too, is that we want God on our time schedule. When God's like, I'm not on your time schedule, I'm on my time schedule. You need to set your clock on my schedule, not demanding that I set my clock on your schedule. And so we're going to read two stories about how what I believe and kind of just speaking with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is revealing on how we are to be to put our trust in God. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 8 through 16. And this is going to be the prophet Elijah, and he is with the widow of Zarephath. And this is what it says. starting in verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when they came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering sticks. And he called her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And he said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing.'" The lady said, the woman said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as I have said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jar of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rains upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoke. So we have this amazing story. And do a little backtracking. There's a famine going on in the land. And you have the Lord telling Elijah to go somewhere. And while he was there, he said, "Hey, I've already prepared someone, a widow, to take care of you." And so he goes and he finds the widow and he tells the widow, "Bring me some water to drink." And she's like, "Okay." And he's like, "Hey, while you're at it, why don't you bake me some bread?" And then that's where she starts freaking out. She's like, wait, we have this famine going on. I'm just gathering a few sticks. I'm going to make some bread. I got a little bit of oil. We're going to make some stuff. Me and my son going to eat and we're going to die." What a horrible mindset. And it's sad to say, but a lot of believers have that mindset. You know, they look at their finances, they look at their health, they look at their friendships, they look at even prophetic words, they look at things that God has given them, and they're just like, "I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to die. I'm going to be broke, I'm going to be evicted, I'm going to be this." And God is saying, "Put your trust in me." And so Elijah has to tell this lady, she said, "Hey, put your trust in God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Make me what I need. Make some for yourself and watch what God does. He's going to move on your situation to where your oil doesn't run out and your flour doesn't run out." And so if you go back and you see that this widow is in distress. Now, it doesn't say how long she was a widow, but we are told that she has a son. Now, when you're a parent, that makes the situation, trials and tribulations, even more stressful. Now, I remember being young, being single. You know, if I was broke and I didn't have money to get gas or, you know, didn't, you know, it was not a big deal. It's just me. I'm like, well, you know, I can go without eating or I could do this. Or I'm not saying that ever went out, but when you're single, this is that, especially as dudes, this is how you think. You're like, well, I mean, I can go out without this. You know, I don't need that, you know, and you're okay. But when you are responsible, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, when you're responsible for children, for little ones, when you're responsible for other people, then that stress amplifies. And it's like, okay, I not only, you know, I may not be able to go, you know, if something happened, let's just say, you know, there's a famine here in America. I know I can go a couple of days, you know, without eating. Not a big deal. I intermittent fast all the time. So my body's used to it. Asher can't do that. Shiloh can't do that. They don't understand. You know, Asher misses one meal. "I'm hungry." You know, he turns into a zombie and, you know, I gotta eat, and he gets hangry. And I mean, it's horrible. But when you're single, it's easy. But when you're responsible for other people. And so this is how that widow felt. She's like, "I'm responsible for my son. He should have had a better life than me. He should have been able to live into an old age, to get married, to have kids, to have grandkids. But I can't provide for him. And now we're just going to eat and die." Probably she was able, to, you know, You know, probably she's been well provided for when she was married. You know, the Bible, we don't know the whole story, but odds are, and you know, we have a few widows in our congregation. I know many widows, and I know ladies who have husbands who've taken care of them very well, but due to injuries, they can't work properly or they can't work at the moment, and they're feeling the lack. And so, you know, a good husband, which we're supposed to be, we're supposed to take care of our spouses. We're supposed to take care of our wives. And so the Bible doesn't say, but I bet this husband was taking care of his wife. You know, she probably had food for herself, for her family, for her son. She's well taken care of, but now her husband is dead. And now and not only is he dead and he can't provide, there's income that's gone. Now she's suffering because there's a drought in the land. And this is what we are told. We are told that she has come to the end of her resources. Verse 10 and 12 talks about this. And she was going to take the last meal with her son and die. So my question is this: have you ever come to the end of your resources? Have you come to the end of your money, your finances, your health, your friends, your patience? Have you ever been to a point where they're all gone and you're just like, well, I guess this is it? You see, in Psalms 84:11, it says this: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who puts their trust in you." I think that's such a key verse from David. You see, David is saying, blessed is the one who puts his trust in God. God is a great father. And Paul talks about, Jesus, you know, he talks about God being a good father, and that if worldly fathers give good gifts to their kids, why would our Heavenly Father not give good gifts? So if you ask for bread, you know, he's not going to give you a scorpion or a snake. If you ask for money, he's not going to throw debt at you. God the Father, he's a great Father and he takes great care of us. We just have to put our trust in him. And so this poor widow, she has lost hope. And in verse 12, it tells us that she was preparing her last meal for her and her son to die. What? And I've been there. I've been in those situations, whether it was my wife's health or with our finances. And I'm just looking, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking the enemy comes and tries to put those thoughts in your mind. You're just like, well, I guess this is done. Well, I guess the ministry is wrapping up. Well, I guess the church is wrapping up. How can we do what we need to do and still carry on? And we have, you know, we're in the red, we're overdrawn, we have no resources. And it can be very hard. You know, and we're just like, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And sometimes the enemy wants to get us to these points where we're just like, I'm done. I'll give up. I'll go get, you know, I'll lay down what I feel like the Lord's called us to do. I'll stop doing this. I'll stop. We've all been there. And so that's where this poor little lady, this widow was. But why did she lose hope? It's because her eyes were upon the resources. Her eyes were on the barrel and the little course of oil instead of upon the Lord. She was looking at what she had. She was looking at the flour. She was looking at the oil instead of looking at Jesus. So many times we look at our situation. We look at our house note. We look at our marriage. We look at our health. We look at the situation instead of the creator of the universe. Instead of gazing and keeping our focus on Jesus, we're like, oh man, that problem's big. Oh man, I don't know if we can overcome that. That's what happened to Peter. Peter's in the boat, sees Jesus walk on the water. He says, Jesus, that's you, call me. Jesus says, come on out. And Peter starts walking on the water. Well, I don't know about you, but I went to school and physics says, and common sense says, people don't walk on water. And that's what Peter was doing. He was walking on water. And then all of a sudden, the scriptures say that he took his gaze off of Jesus. You see, when he was focused on Jesus, he wasn't thinking rationally, oh, well, people can't walk on water. Oh, well, we're not supposed to walk on water. I've never seen a person walk on water. But when he was focused on Jesus, he was hey, I just want Jesus. He called me. I don't care what's in my way. I don't care what I can or cannot do. I don't care what physics says I can or cannot do. I'm getting to the Messiah. But when the Bible says when he took his focus off of Jesus, he starts to sink and he starts to cry out, Jesus, save me. And so many times we look at the situation instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. If we pin our faith to anything down here, here on earth, we shall certainly lose hope. And our faith will start to crumble or falter or waver. But if we put our faith in Jesus, if we put our faith in God, we will understand that he will never let us down. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Man, that's an amazing promise. Now, any man, now going back to the story, you have Elijah, and he goes and tells this lady, he sees that he knows the need of the lady, of the widow. He knows where her resource is. And any man of smaller faith would have faltered and failed when the brook dried up, but not Elijah. His faith was evident of that. He's seen God work. When the brook dried up, God provided. God always provided for Elijah. So he knew, man, God's going to take care of me. I already know this. So when he asked the widow, hey, make me some bread, bring me some water. She says, I don't have enough. He already knew. That's okay. Here's a chance for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make himself known to you. So this is what Elijah does. He has the faith to say, go and make me a small cake. He had the faith to take God at his word. If you look in verse 8 and 10, Elijah lived on the word of the Lord, as we should, Matthew 4:4, and compare 1 Kings 17:8, 14, and 16. Our actions should line up with the word of God. Our lives are lived at the center of his will. It should always line up with the word. Our actions should line up with the word. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what your house note is. It doesn't matter if you have a foreclosure sign on your house. You have to take God at his word. If he says, I will take care of you, you have to believe. Brother, you can take that to the bank and he will take care of it. God's not going to be overdrawn. He's not like, I'm going to give you a check for your finances, but don't cash it for a couple of days. Let the money pile up in the bank. So, and then, you know, here, have you ever done that? You know, someone, you borrowed money or you've given money, you're like, don't cash that check yet. Like, give it a couple of days. God doesn't do that. He's like, man, take it to the bank right now. And the check's not going to bounce. I don't have insufficient funds. The funds are there. Take it to the bank. You can guarantee. That is how God is with us. We have to put our trust in him. Elijah put his trust in God. And he knew it doesn't matter what happens. According to the will of God, it was going to happen. Elijah's faith was so strong. I feel like the disciples... the disciples, when Jesus was rebuking them, you of little faith, you know, I'm looking at situations and I take my eyes off Jesus every now and then. I'm like, oh no. And the Holy Spirit has to rebuke me. And I just hear Jesus, oh, you of little faith. I got you. How many times have I got you? And I have case study after case study after case study, testimony after testimony of times that I was like, oh no, God, we're not going to make it. And God's always came through. I can literally, this is October 19th, 2024. A couple of days ago, I was looking at, so we needed some, something happened in our house. And I was like, man, our toilet broke, our car's broke. I'm like, man, I don't have any money for this. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I got a mission trip coming up. And I was just kind of like, you know, for 1 second, I was like, oh, no, how's it going? But I just said, all right, Lord, it ain't my problem. It's your problem. Next thing I know, someone gives us money that we need. And it was actually more than we needed so I can do stuff. My wife wanted to go on a women's retreat, and I was able to bless her with that. I was able to take care of bills. And I was like, God, you're so good. We have to believe that God is in control. You see, his faith, he had the faith to make unusual requests. We must have the faith to make unusual requests. This is recorded in verse 13. How strange that he should say to a poverty-stricken widow, but first make a small cake of bread for me. He knows where she's at. She knows she's in poverty. She knows she's about to eat her last meal and die. She has nothing left. And for him to have the audacity to be like, hey, yo, by the way, make me a cake first. If that was me, I'd be like, man, get out of here. You crazy. I'm going to eat my cake. Me and my family are going to die. But he said, make me. That's where his faith. We have to be a people that make unusual requests. Oh, well, you only have, you've been diagnosed with cancer. You only have X amount of days to live or X amount of weeks. We make that unusual. Oh, okay, cool. God, heal my body. Oh, doctors will say, well, you can't be healed. God, heal my body. I can tell you testimony after testimony of people that I've known. We personally know a lady who had breast cancer. We prayed with her. And then after it was all said and done, God healed her body. I still remember the day she was like, hey, I went and got tested. I'm cancer free. We have to make unusual requests. It might be, Lord, I mean, and when I say unusual requests, you could be looking for a spouse. Lord, give me a godly man. Give me a godly wife. Give me kids. Give me this. We have to make unusual requests. Lord, I need $50,000. Why not? We limit God so much. And I'm going to give you a key here at the end. But we limit God so much that we're like, well, you know, we always do that. And we've always done it. You know, like, Lord, give me $50,000. And then your rational mind steps in and says, $50,000, really? Okay, Lord, I mean, maybe 15,000. I mean, I can do it. Oh, okay, Lord, I don't know. How am I going to get 15? How is the Lord going to open a way for me to get $15,000? Okay, Lord, I mean, I can manage with $2,000. If you just give me $2,000, that's reasonable. We could do that. We have to get God out the box and expect and have unusual requests. You see, Elijah asked a poverty-stricken widow, but first make the make a small cake of bread for me. What does this mean? It means that he was standing before her as God's representative and that he was telling her to put your trust in God. When we are prepared to give God our all and give him first place, we can be quite sure that our provision is guaranteed. And this is a key that I've realized here, just not lately, but just as the years go by, here's the key. You know, people are like, well, how does this person always bless and how are they always provided for? How did the revivalists of the old, you know, do what they did? How that little small church put on a big concert or a big crusade? It's all about staying in the presence. You see that when you're in the presence of God, that's where your wealth is at. That's where your finances are at. That's where your health is at. That's where your relationship with that. It's all in the presence. Go try and make things happen. Go try to conjure up something. Go try to do what God's called you to do, to pay bills, to be healed, to have an amazing relationship or marriage. Do it out of the presence of God and see what happens. It could be done, but I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it could be in its fullness. I mean, you know, you can try to do stuff. Well, I'm going to do it my own. I mean, Abraham did it out of his own free will. I mean, God gave him a promise. I'm going to give you Isaac. Well, let me do it my own way and see what happens. Well, now we can see what happens down the line and generations of people and fighting and stuff in the Middle East. But we have to get to a point where we are like, it doesn't matter. I'm putting my trust in God. It's said and done. We have to be those kinds of people. You see, Elijah had faith to declare God's faithfulness. We got to declare God's faithfulness. Stop thinking and looking at the times you've missed it. Look at how many times God has bailed you out. Look at many times God has given you resources. Stop looking at the way the resources came in. Because a lot of times we're like, God, I need groceries, or I need money for groceries. I need this. I've seen this a lot. People get upset and they're like, well, I need it. You know, God, we need finance. We can't pay our bills. We can't get groceries. We can't get clothes. We can't do this. And then someone comes up and says, hey, I have all these groceries for you. And you're like, okay, great. But I needed money. And God's like, I provided you resources. You said you needed resources. You said you needed food. I gave you food. And so sometimes we get so stuck into, I got to have X, Y, or Z. It has to be this. God, it got to be money. And God might send you groceries. Well, God, I needed the money so I can pay this. Well, now you're not paying money that you needed on groceries that you needed. You were taken care of, or I needed gas money, or, you know, I remember somebody called us, not too long ago. Hey, I want you to come out and have lunch with us, have dinner with us, you know. And I looked at my wife. I was like, man, we don't got gas money to do that. We don't have money. We barely have money to go out and eat. And I'm like, I got to pay this mortgage. I was like, oh, man. And so I was stressing out, but at first I was kind of like, but I was like, you know what, Lord, you set this up. I know you set this up. And I have to look in the future. I'm like, all right, Lord, this relationship, this is what it can be down the road. I'm setting myself up. I know this was a God-ordained thing. So we go to dinner. We weren't really that hungry. So we just got a pizza and whatnot. Next thing I know, that person who invited us, they're paying for the meal. And it's like, God, you're so good. I was like telling my wife, man, we don't have the money to go out and eat, even though we needed to go to this meeting. We needed to meet these people. It was God ordained. It was so God ordained, so God set up. But God's like, I got you. If I'm going to cause people and things to happen in your life, don't think that I'm not going to give you the resources to get there. If God's called you to build to be a pastor, He's going to give you resources. If He's calling you to write books, He's going to give you the ideas and the things to say. He's going to give you, if He's called you to invent something, don't sit there twiddle your thumbs. Well, God's called me I had a prophetic word. I was going to invent something. I don't know what to do. Don't think God's just going to be like, all right, here's your prophetic word. You're going to invent something and then leave you high and dry. He's going to give you the resources. He's going to give you the revelation. He's going to give you the ideas on how to do it. And so Elijah had the faith to declare God's faithfulness. You have to go back and say, God, so many times we tend to meditate on the bad instead of the good. You know, I can really remember, it's easier for most people to remember the bad things of when you missed a bill payment, when you got sick, than to remember, oh, God gave me this, God supplied this, God did that. We need to stop thinking about the things that are the shortcomings or the negative or whatever you want to call it, and start thinking of the goodness, the provisions that God has given you. Appearances, all appearances were against Elijah, but Elijah had the word of the Lord upon to which to rest on. His faith was simply taking God at His word, plain and simple. We have to take God at His word. Thus, he was able to tell the woman that because God had said this, He would provide. We have to live like that. If God said it, He's going to provide for it. But I believe we have to do our part. If God says, hey, I'm going to give you a business or whatnot. I'm going to give you a ministry or whatnot. You know, I don't know, whatever it is. We have our part to play. Okay, God, I remember we took over this ministry and, when my dad had a stroke. And so my dad set up all this stuff. And so I had to go back and learn the tax laws. I had to go back and all the accounting and stuff like that. I can't just sit back and be like, hey, God gave us a ministry. Hallelujah. And you don't do anything with it. We have to do our part. God's always going to provide, but we have to do our part. So going back to verse 15 and 16, we see that the woman listened to Elijah and she obeyed the Lord and supply was given. Are you concerned about a matter of supply? Are you concerned about resources, whatnot? Do you have a pressing financial need and you are wondering where the supply will ever come? I mean, I know I got a few needs. Are you wondering how you'll be able to make ends meet when you can no longer work, or when you can see, or you can just see turmoil, or even look at the presidential election, what's going to happen? You look at the world stage, what's going to happen? Do you believe God has everything in control? This is what it says in Psalms 37, 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken or his children begging for food. Come on. If that doesn't get you hyped, I don't know what will. I can tell you, I don't know what it is. It's just something. Lord always brings these really cool people in upper age in me and Tiffany's lives. And so I always hear all these great testimonies. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging without bread. I know so many older people that we talk to, and they all have these stories of these, horrible stories and how this and they were lack. But this is what they all, each one has all said the exact same thing. We have never seen God forsake us. And I'm like, dude, that is so crazy. That is so cool. I love it. And that's how God is. We have to put our trust. We have to put our faith. It doesn't matter what everything looks like. It doesn't matter what geopolitics looks like. It doesn't matter what the stock market looks like. It doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. You have to lean on. I don't care if you got to go memorize this scripture. And now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. When you love Jesus, it's already been taken care of on the cross. We no longer have to beg. We must remember that God's supplies never fails where there is faith. Philippians 4:19 talks about that. Concerning his gracious supply that the Lord made for Elijah. So here's what I noticed about this woman. The promise of it. In verse 9 and 14, remember that all the Lord said and did for his servant, then is saying and waiting for you today. Remember that all the Lord said and did for his servant, then he is saying and waiting for you to do. Everything that he did for Elijah, he's waiting for you. You can be like Elijah. And just say, we got it. We got the funds. Now, I'm not saying go get a loan. If you're trying to do something, I'm not saying go get a loan and, go in debt. Or I'm not saying do something stupid. But what I am saying is putting your trust in Jesus. I know people that go buy expensive cars that they know they have no business doing. And then they're like, oh, Lord, help me. I can't pay the car note. Did God tell you to, you were doing stuff out your means. And I've done that too, where I've done stuff out of my means and I'm like, oh God, please help me, bail me out of this one. But when you are living in his will, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're providing, you're just, walking in the spirit, God will provide. You can take it to the bank. You just have to be like, all right, Lord, you told me to take this person. You told me to give my last, my last bit of money to this ministry. Or you told me to bless so-and-so. You told me to this. Now, I'm putting my trust in you. I need you to take care of me and watch God move on your behalf. Not only will he take care of you, there's a duration that is critical. In verse 14, notice three important words. It says, until the day. How long will God supply your needs? Well, really it's this, as long as you rely on him. It's that simple. I'll say that again. How long does God supply your needs? As long as you rely on him. I really believe that, God, as long as you're in the presence, God's going to supply. God's going to keep going. There is times in our ministry that, our bookkeeper, our accountant would say, she would come up and be like, man, I don't know how we did. Our bank account never was, it looked like it on paper. It looked like it, just with our natural eyes, it looked like it. But she said, how God always came through. We always were able to pay the bills. We were always able to do. We were always able to, and so God, when you rely on him, he will always take care of you. And then the third thing that we can notice is the sufficiency of it. Verse 15, the second part in 16, it says, God's promised to meet all of our needs. He never gives us too much. Often he only gives us our daily supply, but he always gives us sufficient supplies. Now, I love that scripture. God shall supply all our needs God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. God will always supply your needs. I personally, and how I've always seen is that, God will give you what you need. He'll give you sufficient of what you need, but it's always enough to get you through the day. It's like Jesus, when he teaches us how to pray, he says, pray like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's our daily portion. There's a portion set aside that God will take care of us each day. And what that does is it makes us to come back and rely on him. I mean, if I won the lotto, and I'm going to be real honest, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I win the lotto and I became a multimillionaire. It's kind of hard to be like, I mean, I personally would trust God still with stuff. But think about it. It's like, well, why do I need God? Why do I need to trust God on finances? I'm totally taken care of now. I'm a multimillionaire. You know, it's like, why do I need you? You know, that's why the rich have a problem with putting their trust in God, because they have everything. And that's not a blanket statement or anything like that. I know I know people with wealth that have generational wealth, that have lots of money, that put their trust in God because they understand, hey, I could lose this like that. And so I continue to trust God and steward what he's given me. But that's how we think. It's kind of like, well, I got all this money. Why do I need to put my trust in God? And so as we read this, God gives us what we need. So we continue to stay in his presence. We continue to rely on him as a father takes care of him. You know, I'll give you an example to kind of put that together, and we'll kind of start wrapping this up. My two youngest ones, Shiloh and Asher, they have to rely on me to feed them and to clothe them and to do all this stuff every single day. Now, I don't give them a ton to where, well, we don't need you, Dad, or whatever. Shiloh wakes up, I'm hungry, I need a bottle. Shiloh's, I'm hungry, I need shoes. And we get him what he needs. Now, my older ones who are able to make money for themselves, you know, hey, Dad, I need a haircut. I'm going to go to the store. You know, like Caleb, he has money. So he don't even come and ask me anymore. He's like, hey, I'm going to the store, I'm going to buy some stuff. Well, he's not relying on me anymore because he has his own source. Not that I wouldn't bless him still, not that I wouldn't get him stuff, but he has his own resources. So he's like, why do I need Dad? I mean, there's certain stuff he needs from me still. But, you know, and this is the example I'm showing. It's like when we have, it's like, why do I need God? Or why do I need provision or put my trust in you? I already have. And so we need to be people that as God gives, we are always, even if God gives you an abundance, always rely on the Lord and know that. It can be gone like that. So the first thing on do we believe God is in control is one, there's two aspects that I want to go through this. Number one is that God will take care of all of your needs. And there's so many times that God will just give and bless and do. And I love those. I love those kisses from God. I love those when you're like, oh man, I'm struggling. And boom, he just gives to you. And you're like, oh man, thank you, Jesus. But there's a second thing, and I'm going to go real briefly. I'm not going to go into depth in this one. It's really easy. But there's another part that I think that God, when we put our trust in the God, do we believe that God is in control? Is this. The Lord gives us the opportunity to gain wealth. Now, wealth can be wealth in finances, wealth in your spiritual growth, spiritual wealth, wealth in your health. But this is what it says in Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So many times God gives you the ability to gain wealth. And I'm using this part right now. I'm using this aspect because I know a lot of people are struggling right now. Our economy American economy right now is trash. You know, it's just a piece of junk, but we got to trust in the Lord. But we have so many people that are struggling, who are just like, I have no money. And the Lord really has been speaking to me about this, is that he wants to release kingdom resources, but he's not just going to give you, you know, here's $1,000, here's this. Yeah, he will sometimes. Yeah, he does do that. I'm not saying that he doesn't do that. And that's the first part with the widow, is that he provided. She never ran out of flour. She never ran out of oil. But there's a second part to this part. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, this is now Elijah has gone on to be the Lord. Now we're talking with his successor, the prophet Elisha. And this is what it says. It says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord your God. but the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house. And she said, your servant has nothing in her house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels, plural, vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in, shut the door behind yourself and your son, and pour into all the vessels. And when one jar was full, set it aside. So she went from him, and she shut the door behind herself and her sons. And she poured, and as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessel was full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And she said, and he said to her, there is not another one. Then the oil flow stopped. She came and she told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil to pay your debts, and you and your son will live, can live off the rest. So here's another aspect that God gives us. He gives us the power to obtain and gain wealth. So God is supplying. So you have this lady, she runs out of money, creditors are after her, and she asks Elisha, what should I do? And he's like, well, what do you got? She's like, well, I just have one jar of oil. And he said, okay, go borrow all these different vessels, all these jars. And so she goes and borrows the jar. I don't know how many jars she had, but she had a bunch of them, enough to where she would pour out. Now, if you have one jar of oil and she borrows 50 jars of oil, how is she filling up 50 jars of oil? Can't be done. God supernaturally supplied. So as she pour that one jar into the oil, or one full jar into the other jar, this jar never emptied, but now that oil, that jar was full. And she did it again after again, to where she would take another jar until they ran out of jars. Well, we're out of jars. And what was Elisha's statement? Go and sell whatever you need to pay back the creditors, and then you guys live off the rest. There's so many times I believe in this last days that God is going to start giving us. You might be saying to yourself, Josh, I don't have any money. My kids are struggling. What is an idea that God has given you? You can't just sit twiddle on the couch, twiddling your thumbs, watching TV and expecting God to give you a handout. Does he bless you sometimes and do stuff? Yes, I believe he does. But the Bible also says that he gives you, you could be twiddling your thumb. What are you good at? There's a lady that we know. You know, she's a single mom. She decided, God gave her an idea. I'm going to go into life coaching. Come on. People need life coaches. And so she's going out and doing what God's called her to do. There's people that are doing. I know for us as a ministry, you know, the Lord's like, you know, how can we make funds? How can we obtain wealth? And I'll go into generational wealth and why that's good, why God wants us to do that. Because we shouldn't, you know, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but love. We're not supposed to be debtors, but I believe we're supposed to be lenders. We should have so much money, so much wealth, so much resources that we can lend to those in need, even the world. Why do we go to the bank? They take all your money, when we should have the resources. Well, we're the lenders. That's how God created us. We're supposed to operate in our kingdom authority. And so you could have an idea. And so what we decided as a manager, there's some stuff I won't say publicly yet, because we're still doing a few things and things in the background. But one thing is, we want to start a school of ministry, and we can start doing online classes. We have all the we have all the equipment to do it, where we can do online e-courses. We have another course that's called Next Gen School of Ministry, and it's teaching churches how to minister to young people, children and young people, and we can sell. And it's like, these are ideas. Why should we have to go work at Walmart, work at Burger King, when God's saying, I'm giving you the ideas? Here's what makes us different. Now, again, I'll go back to the gifts of God are irrefutable. God gives believers and unbelievers alike great ideas. Sometimes unbelievers really tap into that. Look at Elon Musk. I'm not saying he's a card-carrying Christian. I don't know what his salvation status is, but just looking at it through, I don't believe he's a Christian. But God gave him an amazing idea to build Tesla, to build SpaceX, to do all the, and he's worth billions. I think he's worth trillions now. Yeah, he's the richest man on earth right now. the gifts of God are irrevocable. Whether now he's not using it for kingdom pit purposes, but if you're a believer, God can give you podcasting ideas. God can give you life coaching ideas. God can give you, you could be great at bookkeeping. Go start a bookkeeping and a notary business. You'd be good. You might be good at babysitting. Go start your own daycare. I mean, there's some, I mean, I know folks, some friends of ours who started and they're not even believers. But they were like, we got a dream, we got to make money, we got to make wealth, and they started their own store. Now let me tell you where we get to come in at, which is really cool. They started this store, and it's on the west side of San Antonio. When we have stuff, we give stuff to them so that they can use and put in their store. And it's kind of like we get to be a part of it, and we're so. And the funny thing is, we go over there, we buy stuff from them. You know, if they let us, sometimes we get there, they're like, no, dear, just take it. We're like, no, man, like, let us give to your economy. Like, let us give to you. But what I'm saying is this, there's two things. One is that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. There's many times he'll just give you stuff. He'll bless you for where you're at. And he'll give you the sufficient needs to get you through the famine, the hardship, the trials, the tribulation. Boom. God got your back. But there's other times that the second point is that God will give you the opportunity to gain wealth. What does that look like? It's, you know, you're healthy. Well, I'm healthy. I can work. I can go gain wealth. I could start a gym. I can start a production company. God gives you ideas. And I believe God is in these last days, God's going to, and this is where, again, being in his presence. When you're in his presence, you have a direct connection to the heavenly realms, to the throne of God. And God will start saying, hey, do this, do that, do this. Even if you're a musician, when you're in the presence of God and you're listening and you're worshiping, God will start downloading music notes, ways to play guitar, play drums, do stuff, sing. He will give you fresh stuff that's from heaven that nothing has been heard here on earth, because God, that's how God is. He gives us the ability to gain wealth. But what is our job? It's to, okay, God, what are you telling me to do? And you go out, but it takes action. So many times people get ideas and they're like, oh, that's a great idea. I should do that. And we tell people, oh, I'm going to start a record label, or I'm going to start a gym. I'm going to have a great marriage. I'm going to do this. We tell people this, but we don't put what God has given us into action. And then someone else comes around and does what we, you know, what God told us to do. God's like, well, if you're not going to be faithful with that, I'll give it to somebody else. So we have to be a people of action. So the two things, and I end with this. One, God will supply all of your needs. When you put your trust in God, you go through hardships, trials, tribulations, he will supply your needs. And then the second thing is that, you know, you could still be in trials and tribulations, or you could be in a really good place. God will give you the ability to gain wealth. And I'm not talking about, you know, oh, Holy Spirit, what's the lotto numbers for tonight? Give me a prophetic word. That's not what I'm talking about. But it could be supernatural, God-inspired ideas. It could be inventions. It could be patents. It could be business ideas. And you use what he's given you to build generational wealth, to build resources, not for you, but for the glory and for the kingdom of God. So as I end today, it all comes down to, do you believe God is in control? God is in control of everything. He's in control of your finances, your health. You just got to give it over to God. You have to be like Elijah and Elijah. You have to be like Elijah, where your faith is cemented in God, and it doesn't matter what people say. God said it. I can take it to the bank. I'm gonna put my trust in his word. You got to be like that widow woman. Stop looking at the trials and tribulations and look and say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You have to get to the point where you're just like, all right, God, I'm just going to trust you no matter what. And then you also have to be like that other widow, or the other widow who lost her husband with the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings. And that God gave her an idea through the prophet Elijah to put oil in the jars, take the jars to sell it. She started a business. She became an entrepreneur. I believe God is looking for kingdom entrepreneurs. And actually, we're part of a group called Unite SA, and it's really cool. It's a bunch of Christian businessmen and businesswomen. They own businesses, and it's really cool. We've seen realtors. We've met realtors who are believers, and a lot of these people started their own business. We have realtors that are in part of this group. We have construction workers. We have tech consultants. We have tech area. We have occupational therapy. We have counseling. Sound engineers. I mean, it's amazing. These are all God-given talents, God-given things that God said, this is what I want you to do. And he's given them the ability to obtain and to gain wealth. God's looking for a bunch of entrepreneurs, because when you put your trust in God, he'll either supply your needs, or when you put your trust in God, he'll either give you the ideas to put God-given ideas to become an entrepreneur, to obtain and to gain wealth. So that's all I have. Next week, again, we will be meeting at the Connected Co-Working Space. We're really excited. We'll put the address on our Facebook. Look out for more information when that's going to happen. Let's pray, and then we're going to be done. Father, we just thank you that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, I thank you that you also give us the ability and the opportunities to gain wealth. Father, help us not to be a people that are worrying about the economy, worrying about the stock market, worrying about this or that, but to put our trust in you, to fully put our trust in Jesus, because you are a good Father that gives good gifts, and you're not going to do us dirty. You're not going to give us a snake or a stone if we ask for bread. You're not going to trick us. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. Lord, bless everyone as they're watching today, Lord. I ask for those who are in trials and tribulations, Lord, if they're struggling to meet a need, Lord, I ask that you supply their needs right now, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be opportunities. Lord, bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Meet their needs. Let their needs be met. Let their oil and flour not run dry. And Father, for those who you've given ideas to, Lord, entrepreneurs, Lord, bless them. Give them the ability, the hope, the strength, the ideas, the strategies to become God-given kingdom entrepreneurs, Lord. Not for our wealth, not for our gain, but for your gain. Because you are a good God. Lord, we love you. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Usually I say same time, same place next week, but same time, different place next week. We're really excited. God's doing something great. And we love you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye.